Welcome to the Lead Defend Podcast, a show designed to help you grow in faith and leadership as you navigate the stages of young adulthood. We address important faith topics and provide practical life tips, helping you build up your faith as you engage a changing culture. Now, here are your hosts.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Lead Defend. This is Brock, and I am here in our Arkansas Baptist State Convention studio with the Bill Batman Newton. Man, I'm going to try to wring all the Batman jokes I can you with me. What got you so into Batman? Is it just...
So when the original came out back in the late 80s.
Okay.
Big Michael Keaton fan.
So is that your number... Tim Burton fan. That's Batman to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, we are unfortunately not here to talk about Batman today, if you were wanting to talk about that.
Bonus
However,
episode.
We are here to talk about something incredibly important. We have here with us Shannon Inman. Shannon comes to us today from Louisiana. But I'm going to let her share a little bit about herself before we get started talking about apologetics. So, Shannon, thank you so much for being with us here. We're getting ready to do the Lead Defend conference tomorrow and excited to have you with us. So, yeah, tell us a little about yourself, where you're from, and your family.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I'm Shannon, and from Ruston, Louisiana, right along I-20 between Shreveport and Monroe.
Okay.
Louisiana Tech is where my husband is the BCM director. And I am a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
Although my kids are older now, but I am a professional calligrapher by trade.
Wow.
And
so how'd you get into that?
I just always loved lettering and loved art in some kind of capacity. And then was praying for many years that the Lord would bring a job. I loved ministry, mm-hmm. but I wanted to be able to stay at home. I wanted to be able to do things with Kevin at the BCM, and it really just fell in my lap.
That's so cool.
It truly just fell in my lap, and where we lived, there was opportunities for me to do it, and mm-hmm. it just started to flourish, no pun intended. But
so funny story. Mm-hmm. We were getting ready for these. I was trying to look at a couple bios and different things, and I Googled Shannon Inman, and the first thing that I saw was like, that's what I saw, lettering and all that, and I was like, oh, that can't be her. And so I said, sure, but here you are.
Yeah,
I should have clicked.
Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah, it's paper glaze calligraphy, and it's just brought a lot of joy. The Lord has used it to, I love writing out scripture verses, but it also gets me out in the secular world to interact with a lot of different kinds of people, stay out of that ministry bubble. Mm-hmm. And so that's been great too. So
yeah. So smart. One of your passions is calligraphy. Mm-hmm. You were also telling us that one of your passions is apologetics.
Yes.
So maybe tell us, number one, most people, I think, listening to this podcast have an idea of what apologetics is, because as Lead Defend, we do a lot of apologetics. But maybe for some newer listeners or those who haven't heard, what exactly is apologetics, and how did you find yourself getting really passionate about it?
Well, the simple definition, I guess, would just be able to defend your faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
about saying sorry.
No. But I got much more interested in it when my kids were getting at an age where they were asking more questions, but also walking through life with them in church, like I was helping in Sunday school and working with children and youth and being in college ministry as well. And I realized these are the church kids, and they are not getting it. They don't have the concepts down. And it really put like a passion in me. And so I was determined to make sure that my kids at home are being discipled, and I wanted to do that in the church as well, but for sure my own children. So in teaching them worldview, I came to appreciate it at a deeper level, and I realized we need to be talking about this. We all need to be apologists. You know, mm-hmm. it's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the ones that are in ministry per se. Even though we were in ministry, I realized mm-hmm. people need to know why they believe what they believe. And the Christian worldview, it's so beautiful and coherent and really expresses reality. And there's a battle, there is a war against reality right mm-hmm. now. So we need to be able to, all truth is God's truth, not just in the Bible.
Yeah.
Everything is. And so merging those two together, it just gets me excited and makes people, just have more confidence when they engage in conversations.
Yeah. I love to hear that. I've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old at home, and you can only imagine some of the questions that I'm starting to get.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them theological. Some of them, no idea where they, no idea where they come from. For your kiddos, what were some of those things you said that they weren't getting it? What were some of the things they were struggling to grasp? What were some of the doubts they were having? What were the questions that they were asking?
Well, a lot of it had to do with homosexuality and what do I, you know, what, how do I love them, but yet how do I stand up for truth at the same time? How to stand firm in school? I mean, we did homeschool for a while, but we they went to high school and engaging with their friends and being able to just stand firm, but yet some of these issues were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I realized I don't know how to answer. Like, I don't know why in a lot of ways. I know what the Bible says, but I also want to be able to talk to people, you know, and not just slap a Bible verse in front of them because they're like, well, that's great for you, but that's not necessarily what I believe. And so how to help them come up with ways to engage with their friends and show Christ, be loving, but be truthful and stand firm. Mm-hmm. And so that was a lot of it. Of course, there's a variety, so many different things, but that's some of the ones that pop out at me for sure. So
as you began getting into that and as you learn more about it, I'm a resource guy. If somebody were to come to you and say, hey, give me 3 to 5 resources on apologetics, and it could be a specific topic, it could be general, anything that you recommend to people who are interested in getting into that.
That's a great question. I love... recently, whatwouldyousay.org is a great resource. It's put out by the Colson Center, but they are like these 5-minute videos that take some of the issues that we're dealing with, and they give you just like 3 points to listen to a video, and it's just so well expressed. And so you can look up anything about, you know, is Jesus a socialist? Basically, their way of coming into it is like you're in the middle of a conversation and someone asks you or someone says, hey, well, Jesus was a socialist. What would you say? So whatwouldyousay.org. And so those are great just to like, well, I don't know how to, you know, I don't know what to talk about or I don't know what to say. And they're biblically focused and they're a great jumping point. Another great book that I love is, I learned a lot from Mama Bear Apologetics.
Oh, yeah.
And The Guide to Sexuality, I think, is excellent. As far as, there's so many podcasts as well. Recently, I've really enjoyed The Beckett Cook Show. Okay. He's on YouTube. Mm. He lived a homosexual lifestyle for many years and was converted to Christianity, and he just understands, he speaks the truth in love, and I think he's really good. I also love, of course, Frank Turek and Elisa Childers, a lot of the ones from the Colson Center. Breakpoint, it's like a, you know, it's a podcast, but it's on a lot of Christian radio that deals with the culture of the day. You know, just the immediate things that come up that we're wondering about. Goodness, there's a lot more.
One of the cool things that has been neat to watch is when I first got into apologetics about 20 years ago, there was a handful of resources, but it was still kind of just bubbling underneath the surface of Christianity. And to watch it explode over the last 15 or 20 years and the amount of resources out there, podcasting has helped with that tremendously. Mm-hmm. But even just the amount of books and resources that are available has been very encouraging to see.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that when we were in seminary, we went to Southwestern Seminary. That was the last thing I wanted to study. I remember thinking, I cannot wait to get out of this philosophy class. It is so above my head. And and now I'm very drawn to it. But when you've got skin in the game and your kids and students, and all of a sudden you're just like, okay, I want to know. I want to understand. I want to be able to speak. And so I want the common people, per se, to be able to realize – I guess I just want people to get a fire under them to – it's my responsibility to know, to be able to defend my faith. We can't coast. We weren't meant to coast anyway, but now we see why we cannot even more.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second, because in the even what you guys just mentioned, that it wasn't something that people were talking about 20 or so years ago. It seems like the ship is course correcting a little bit with all the resources that are now. But for the average Christian, why haven't they looked into this more? Why isn't it important to them? And why should it be important to the average everyday Christian?
You know, some of it is just American Christianity. We've been able to, you know, I think about the scripture verse in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus says, you know, you are the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
But if the salt loses its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Right. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And I feel like that in a lot of ways, it's being trampled under people's feet. No longer is it respected because we've become so much like the world that people can't tell a difference. I mean, salt in and of itself, it does not lose its taste, but it's mixed in with other things. It gets diluted. And so now we're seeing the after effects of that kind of watered down Christianity. And so the world doesn't really want to have anything to do with it unless it's the real thing.
Yeah.
And so we have access to the most wonderful thing in the world, the gospel. And so we need to know it to be able to share it. So.
Yeah. The knockoff, I know for me, when I think about like the knockoff diluted main brands, it just doesn't taste right.
Yeah.
But once you get the real thing, all of a sudden the stuff of substance makes you pay attention, that you can tell it's different and there's something worth following. Earlier, you mentioned in a panel that you were in, that you know, we should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. But also, you took a particular emphasis with all your mind. How is maybe the typical Christian or the American church, how have we maybe shied away from loving the Lord with all of our minds, and how can we do that better?
Well, I think that for the longest time, we felt like if we take our kids to church and we just make sure that they're at the VBSs, the camps, and make sure that we do our part to get them there, we've outsourced discipling our children to the church, and it's really supposed to take place in the home. And so I think that was one area where we really need to get back to discipling in the home and taking that seriously.
You think about the amount of time that parents have with their kids at home versus how much time, even if a person shows up every week to everything we do at church, There's a large discrepancy between the amount of time that we get at either place.
Especially now with social media and all the many voices that are speaking, all these different ideologies to us all, not just our kids, but to us all. And so we're seeing people, you know, fall by the wayside everywhere. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I wonder if some of that is one of the stereotypes for Christianity is that we're anti-intellectual,
right?
Yeah. Blind faith.
Yes.
Yeah. But I also wonder how much, I don't mean this to sound heretical, so don't take this out of context. Listen to the whole podcast, boys and girls. But I also wonder how much faith is used as a cop-out. And what I mean by that is we're just supposed to believe,
right?
We're just supposed to have blind faith. And certainly there are moments of blind faith.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
But Paul's very clear that his faith, he says multiple times, I have come to this conclusion, right? Meaning he has thought about that.
He talks about persuading people.
Yes. Yeah. And so part of me wonders if we've used faith as a little bit of a cop-out instead of doing the hard work of knowing why we believe what we believe and loving God with our mind. It's a lot easier to love God with my emotions than it is to love God with my mind.
Yes.
Right? So I'm just going to live off faith.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it discourages a lot of people. Well, you just need to have more faith. Don't quit asking questions. Just have faith. You don't need to know everything. And to an extent, yes, we're never going to know everything. We're always going to have questions. But we should let people know that there are good answers to good questions that they have about the faith. So whenever it comes to some of those questions and you've looked into these answers to help yourself, to help your kids, what are a few things that you're just like, oh, I've studied this and I would want to encourage you to study that too. I've looked into this argument or this, you know, apologetic philosophy. And I've really loved that. Anything that you've been studying or have studied that you said, I think this would be really helpful for you.
Well, there's so many different areas, but the one that sticks out to me the most is just being able to defend the resurrection, because all of the gospel is centered around the resurrection. Okay. And there are so many incredible points to be made, and everything flows out from that. And so if the resurrection really took place, then we can trust everything that Jesus said, because he's, you know, resurrected from the dead. So that is one area that I think is so important. But also just what the – looking at the framework of the Bible, in taking a step back and seeing it, you know, like creation, fall, redemption, and restoration, and seeing the storyline of the Bible, the meta-narrative per se.
Okay.
And that has helped me look back and see, you know, we need to look and see what God was doing in creation, what he intended things to be, and not just the fall and redemption as far as we're sinners and we need a Savior, but focus on what God intended and then what the fall did. Redemption and restoration in what's going, we know the end of the story, and that should make a difference in our life here and now. So I loved learning that framework. I learned that going through a program called Colson Fellows, and it's just impacted the way I read scripture and interpret the issues of the day. And I love teaching students that as well, and that's been exciting. So
there really is something when you see that, you know, this is this long overarching story, and you're able to put all the pieces together, and you kind of have that aha moment where you're seeing everything interworking in with one another. I could see somebody listening, and you mentioned a lot of resources earlier, and they're convinced. They don't want to be a lazy Christian. We talked about your talk for tomorrow. You said it's titled "Don't Be a Dumb Christian." They don't want to be a lazy Christian. They don't want to be a dumb Christian. They want to take this seriously. They want to look at the evidences, the reasons why, you know, they can know what they believe in is true and have those conversations with others. But they're like, man, I'm busy. I'm going to school. I'm trying to work. And you've listed all of these different resources. I don't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
Where's maybe some simple, helpful starting places that they can look to start making strides in this area?
Well, in some ways, it's back to the basics. In a lot of ways, it's knowing the scripture and knowing the scripture, staying in community, in Christian community, but being familiar with other worldviews. Just begin to learn. And so when I say know the Bible and be familiar for a purpose, because the Bible is the source of our truth, and we want to be able to discern, because there's so many other things that are, you know, vying for our attention, and mixed truths, I guess you would say, and mixing the Bible in with a lot of other things. So start where you are.
Yeah.
Find someone, a mentor, find someone that will walk the journey with you, to take you just at the step where you are, just go up another step as far as getting the Bible in your life even more and having that accountability.
Yeah.
As far as different worldviews, just maybe there's something that you're interested in learning about while you are also staying in the Word. Yeah, see where you're interested in and go down that direction. And the more you learn, it'll keep taking you down different paths. There are so many wonderful resources out there and people that we have access to that we didn't 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that is, just start where you are. I'll tell you a little bit about how Don't Be a Dumb Christian, that title kind of came into my life was during COVID. I just felt much more of intensity to do something and compiled just a curriculum per se where we went some of the big questions in people's lives, like, where do I come from, and what's wrong with the world? How do we fix the world? You know, what's the solution? And what happens after we die? Some of these big questions, and leading in a way where people could ask those questions and see what the Bible said about it, listen to different podcasts, and then come together and talk about it. So it's just a reason to get people to come in community and learn about those things. And so it was just a small tool, but during COVID, I had the time, you know, students, they couldn't go on mission trips anymore. Mm-hmm. They were eager to get out of their home. And that's kind of how it started. And so what God intended, you know, what Satan intended for evil, God can use for good.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think of apologetics, in their mind, they have a character, and it's of like a debate stage.
Yeah.
Or they think when they think of an apologist or someone who's arguing for the faith of Christianity, it's very aggressive. Mm-hmm. It's very intense. And in the short time we've spent together, you don't strike me as a person who's very aggressive, very intense. Now your husband's in the room. Maybe he could correct me. But it calls to my mind, you know, be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within you with gentleness and respect. And so for the person who maybe is a little more timid, who isn't openly confrontational, why should they seek out apologetics? How is this something that could be for them too?
Well, it just gives confidence because mm-hmm. there's going to be conversations where you just want to be able to engage. And so, and you don't have to know all the answers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think, I've got to learn it all. It's overwhelming and I just can't do it.
Yeah.
But if we learn to ask some of the right questions while we are learning as well, where, you know, just questions like, well, what do you mean by that? Or how did you come to that conclusion? So you're keeping the conversation going. You're showing love to mm-hmm. that other person, but you're knowing how to engage. And I think it may be Greg Kochel that talks about put a rock in their shoe.
That's right. Yeah. That's a great image.
It is. Make because them uncomfortable. You're really just keeping the conversation going and making them to defend their faith. And they realize, I don't really know why I believe that. I've just taken that and run with it, but it doesn't really hold in, you know, it doesn't make sense now that I'm talking about it. And so you can love people and ask questions. You can have a little bit more confidence where before you had been like, I'm not saying anything. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to open that can of worms.
Yeah.
But I think that's how I would love to encourage people to just start where you are.
Yeah.
If I had waited, I would have never started. If I had waited till I learned everything, I would have never started. But
Wherever you are on your faith journey or mm-hmm. your experience with apologetics, there's a place for you to get started, to engage, that's and right. to begin to learn more so that you too can put a rock in someone's shoe mm-hmm. to make them uncomfortable and think about things. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for spending time with us and answering our questions. And if somebody wants to hear more from you, follow you, where can they maybe find you? Is there a website, social medias? Where can people hear more?
Well, honestly, everything that's online is with my calligraphy business.
I have experience.
Yeah.
Hey, yes. if you're listening, you need any great calligraphy. Maybe you're getting married soon. You need some letters. Let's drum up some business here.
I mean, they can email me, but it's perfect. Shannon, and it's spelled a little differently. It's Shannan at paperglaze.com. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much, Shannon. And to you listeners, always make sure to check out leaddefend.org. We have new podcast content coming out, and the conference is always right around the corner, and we hope to see you there. Until next time, this is Brock and Bill.
That's it for this episode of Lead Defend. To hear more episodes from the Lead Defend crew, visit absc.org/podcasts. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcast listening site. Want to learn more information about the next Lead Defend conference? Visit leaddefend.org.